First off, I'd like to thank you from my very heart. The apartments that we're in is wonderful. The gift of love that you gave my family is also wonderful. It's good to know that you think about me and my family and that you're willing to back that up with love. Because love is the message of God. Brother Randall, as he was talking this morning, mentioned what the story or the film The Passion of Christ did in the world of Islam. Edward Hufford
was one of my teachers at Sudh Hardiman, and he told me the secret to reaching Muslims first is the love
that is in Christ and the family that is represented by Jesus. You get that in Islam. Also, when I think of love, and I know it's going to embarrass him to death, but I think of John Donnell. He's a wonderful brother, and he may not know it, but he's influenced me for being a missionary because of his love for the lost. I've never seen anybody with such a love to reach out and even to drive a van and pick up some wonderful young people that I see left and right of me here. Because love is what touches people's hearts. Because this love for the lost springs from the very heart of God. Why did God send Jesus into the world? I'll ask an elder, why did Jesus come into this world? To seek and to save the lost. Think about it. God left heaven where he was sitting in glory to become a man that he might seek and save us. Because I'm considering myself as one of the lost. I'm only saved because of the love of Jesus. So John has influenced me in many, many ways he probably never knew. Because his love for these young people. I saw the van outside too. But I brought today two things. What is this? Salt. What do we use salt for? Seasoning. To the time of Jesus, why did they use salt? One was seasoning. Preservative. Jesus didn't have a refrigerator. He didn't have a deep cool schrank. A schrank. This is German. I'm going to speak German to you, so I'm not speaking in... Well, yes, I am speaking in tongues in a way. But salt was a preservative. I can remember my dad, he used to love this ham. I couldn't stand it because it was so salty. I forgot what kind of ham that was. But it was so salty, I thought, how can anybody eat this stuff? But that's how they preserved meat. Without this salt, meat would go bad. There's another property about salt that I didn't know until this year. Salt will never, when it's in its pure form, will never lose its taste and property. Never. Salt remains salt. Why does salt become not good? LB? Why would salt stop being salty? He doesn't know. I have to go to his wife. The wife should know this. I don't even see your wife. Way in the back. Do you know what would take the saltiness from salt? She doesn't know either. I thought these old guys would know that. Maybe I need to ask somebody young. Who knows? Who knows what will take the saltiness from salt? With what? We'll still be salty. But you're on the right trail. Impurities. Mix it with dirt. Start mixing salt with dirt. The more dirt you have, the less this salt will be effective. Impurity takes away the properties of salt. What is this? A light bulb. Matter of fact, this is not mine. I borrowed it from the apartment. I'll take it back. I don't know. It's a light bulb. What do we use light bulbs for? For light. Why isn't it working? Okay, it's not plugged into electricity.
Now, there was a show I used to watch. The guy would put it in his mouth and it would come on. The Addams Family, that was that. I can't do that. I never tried, but I don't think I can do that. What does a light bulb do? It produces light. Why do we need light? To see. Have you ever, in the middle of the night, needed to go to the bathroom and you didn't want to turn the light on to wake up your wife or your husband or the kids and tripped over something on the way to the bathroom? Light's important. Something also that I learned this year, both of these are needed for human life. Do you know you would die if there was no light on this earth? Do you know without salt you would also die? They are important to human life. Take away one or the other and you're going to die. I also learned this just recently, way up north in Siberia. I don't know if you've ever been to Siberia, but in winter they have light programs. So they bring the children into not normal light bulbs, but special light bulbs for the children in the school. So they can get this right kind of light, because it's dark there for 6 months. I've never been in a place that was dark for 6 months. But they do it because light is necessary to live. Without that, well, not necessarily this one, that big one in the sky, we would die. These things are very important to human life. Now let me read something to you that Jesus said about these very two things. You, he's talking to Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled anew. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. As a child, I used to sing this song. I forgot how it goes. This little light of mine. This little light of mine. And then, I hid under a bushel. Whoa. Very early, we tried to teach our kids what it means to be a light. The thing is, I think often, when we're adults, we forget. We forget what it means to be salt and light. Let's look at our world a second. I know it's not always a pretty picture. Let's open up the newspaper. What's the newspaper here? The Orlando Sentinel or something like that? What's always on the front page? Terrorism. Weather? That's just on the last page. Terrorism. Murder. Something was stolen. All this wonderful, wonderful news. Why is that on the first page? People will buy it. People are sick, I think. They want to know the bad stuff. Nobody wants to know good stuff. Nobody wants to know that good stuff. They want to know the bad stuff. But do you realize this world is missing light? What does the Bible teach is the true light? God. Jesus. God is the Father of light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And what did Jesus just tell Christians? You are light. Maybe Charlie can light this up in his mouth. I don't know. But we are the salt and the light of this world. Let's just look at this first thought. And before I get to that first thought, does anybody know where this passage I read is found? Matthew 5. In a bigger perspective, where is it found? The Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount from Jesus. And how does the Sermon on the Mount begin? You're going to be talking about this next Saturday. Beatitudes. And I'm going to read to you the last Beatitude because it comes right before this passage. Listen to this. Blessed are those who are preserved. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus is comparing us to the prophets. He says, when you, as my followers, are salt and light on earth, you're going to be persecuted. Does that mean we're going to be laughed at? Maybe. Does that mean we might be killed? Maybe. Just like the prophet. Have you ever thought about it this way? Are we laughed at, or are we persecuted? And if we're not, why? If we're not? Something to think about. But salt. Let's think once again on salt. Preservatives. Jesus says, Christians, people who follow me, you are a preservative. Now there's good preservatives and bad preservatives. I don't know all about that, but this is an important preservative. Think about something. I'm going to take you back to the Old Testament, a story about Abraham. Abraham was talking to God. And Abraham, God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, wait a minute, God. Because he knew his nephew was there. Lot. Wait a minute, God. If there is 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you destroy it? God said, no, absolutely not. When 50 righteous people are there, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham thought, wait a minute. Sodom and Gomorrah is not a very good place. God, 45 people. If 45 righteous people, good people, are in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you destroy it? No. If there are 45 good people there, I won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham thought again, Sodom and Gomorrah. God, 30! And then 35! Then 10. God, if 10 good people, righteous people, are in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you destroy it? God said, if there are 10 good people, righteous people, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? It was destroyed. There wasn't even 10 righteous people. How many were saved in Sodom and Gomorrah? 3. One didn't quite make it. Remember the wife turned into a pillar of salt? She looked back. 3 people. Now, I don't know how big Sodom and Gomorrah were, but 3 people. Had Abraham maybe gone to 3, who knows what would happen. But Abraham stopped the sin. You see, Lot was not a very good preservative. He and his family. And God had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. What do we know is going to happen with our world? It's going to be destroyed one day. One day, God is sending Jesus, and the Bible tells us that this earth and everything in it is going to be destroyed with fire, with great intense heat, and with a loud bang. And I mean, the Big Bang Theory will happen one day. It's an opposite effect. It's going to be a big bang, and it's not going to be an earth anymore. There'll be a new one. A new heaven and a new earth that God is preparing for us. But back to this thought of Christianity as being a salt. We are a preservative, but my question is, are we pure salt? Or are we diluted with impurities, dirt, impurities of this world, and therefore a bad preservative? What kind of Christians are we? Are we letting the impurities of this world destroy our saltiness? Are we impure or are we pure? That is the question. as Shakespeare would say. Now, I did have Shakespeare in college. I had it in high school too, but I don't remember it from high school. I remember it from college. Are we going to preserve this world that more people can be saved? Or are we going to be impure and help lead to its downfall? That's a mighty strong question. And I can't answer it for you. Everybody knows their own life. But Christianity is not a jacket and a tie that I can put on Sunday morning and then take it off Sunday afternoon and then put it on again Sunday night. Because most people don't wear them Sunday night. Most people just wear them Sunday morning. It's not something we can put on. If it is, then it's not what Jesus wanted. Because this Sermon on the Mount here is all about what God expects and wants from his followers. See, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That should be in our heart to do that too. That should be what we want. To seek and save the lost. And if we have a Christianity that we take off after the Sunday sermon, you're not going to be much seeking and saving. If that love isn't there, I mean, how do you know when someone loves you? That is seen. And there are types of love that are just show. But it doesn't take long to get behind that love isn't true, that love isn't real. Because that love won't endure. So people tend to know this love is fake. And a fake love will not attract people. It will not preserve our society. As in the Muslim world, what did they see in The Passion of Christ in this film? A wonderful love of God. That he would die for us that we might be saved. Because Jesus said, there is no greater love than this. To watch Sunday morning movies? And to lay down your life for a brother. And that love was shown by Jesus. And that's what impresses people. It's not going to be me or Charlie or not even John that attracts people to Christ alone. It is this love of Jesus. And it's got to be reflected in our lives as salt. And the more we mix with the evils of this world, the more impure we're going to be and the less good. And what does Jesus say is salt that is not salty? What's it used for? Nothing. It's thrown on the dirt way, on the way here, the path, so you can walk on it. It's not worth for anything else. And he's talking about Christians, about followers that are impure and not being salty. He said, we're not good for anything but to be what? Think about it. Walking here is for Christians. But let's go to this idea about light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, in the Second World War, I wasn't in the Second World War, that old I'm not, but I did teach it as history courses in the university. I know that even here in the United States, particularly on the coast, and particularly on the Gulf Coast, I don't know if you knew this, but there were German U-boats, submarine boats, in the Gulf of Mexico in the Second World War, and they did sink ships. And do you know what they would do at night? They turn off the lights in the cities. And you had to blacken your windows so that those U-boats couldn't see you and shoot with artillery from their U-boats. But we aren't allowed to blacken our windows. As this young man said, if I want this light bulb to work, I got to hook it to the electricity. That electricity is cheap. So if we want to be a light, we have got to hook up with Jesus. Pardon. We are reflective. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He says, people don't light a lamp and hide it. I mean, it's kind of dumb to turn on the light bulb and then paint the light black so that the light doesn't shine through. Who would do that? Many Christians in their lives do that. But also when we think about it, what else did God call light? I'll give you a tip. His word. He said, my word is a light unto the world. And if we want to present this word, we need to do it in as pure a form as we can. What is the one thing, I noticed this from Germany, the one thing that really turns people off? The Germans have a word and it's called Heuchelei. That means presenting a picture that's not true. Or a Schauspieler, I'm talking German again, a actor or actress is a Heuchler in German, meaning they're playing the part. I mean, particularly young people would know if it's an act or if it's real. Now, that's the wonder about John. People see that he means it. John is not an actor. It comes from his heart. And I grew up here with elders as L.B. and Philip, and they were also wonderful examples for me. I forgot, but Bert was also the elder back then. That shows you how old Bert is now. Well, when I got here this morning, L.B. told me I was getting old. But we are not. We are not actors. When we start acting as an actor or an actress, people are going to see through it and say, worthless, of not any use. We as Christians cannot do that. We need to live like Christians, like Jesus. We need to be salt, so pure as we can get it. I'm sorry, we're not going to be pure salt. None of us. We are sinners, even as Christians. But we can, through the love of Jesus, be pure in the world. But when we start letting things of this world, what's that word again? Dilute. We're not going to do it, right? Let me read something to you from the book of Galatians. This is in the chapter 5 of Galatians, starting with verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, adultery and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. As I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. When these impurities enter our lives, we are not being pure salt. We are not being light. Now I ask you, selfish ambition? Dissension? Discord? Envy? Hate? Have we had any of these in our lives recently? God called us to be salt and light. He wants us to live like Jesus, like He lived upon earth to attract the lost. Because what does it mean when you're lost? I'll ask you, you smile nice. What does it mean when you're lost? You cannot find your way. I got lost in the woods once when I was a kid. I think I was 9 or 10 years old. And I was not supposed to go in the woods by myself. May I try to tell a 9 or 10 year old he can't go in the woods by himself? I walked down the trail, and there was still some snow on the ground, and I saw some real cool footprints. Round ones with kind of heart shaped, but they were deer, but I didn't know that at the time. And so I started following them. A little bit of snow, then a little bit in the mud, then a bit in the snow. I kept following the deer footprints. And all of a sudden I was lost. Where in the world am I? I was too young to think about following my footprints back. But I learned something this day. Deer tend to walk in a big circle. I was almost back to my starting point and didn't even know it. I started crying, and luckily my older brother heard me and came and said, "What are you doing? Come home. You're not supposed to be out here." He didn't care that I was crying, and took me home. But lost. The world is lost. It is lost in hate and envy and sexual sins and what all was listed here. People who do these things cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus came. He wants us to have that kingdom. So for those of you who are not Christians today, Jesus is calling you. He wants to save you. He wants to tell you where you're at and where you're going. And He does love you. He came. He gave up heaven to come to earth that He might tell you how to get home. He calls you. In Acts chapter 2, Peter tells people how to come into the kingdom of God. Let me read that to you. There's many places, but I like what Peter says. Peter replied, well, first the brothers asked, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They're lost. They want to be found. What shall we do? Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then he goes on, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." This is a corrupt, perverted generation. Our world names what is good in God's eyes as bad, and what God says is bad, they call it good in our world. And He's calling us to be saved from this type of thinking. Those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers. God added them to the church. God saves, not man. But then also to those of you out here who believe, who are baptized believers. What kind of salt? What level of impurity do you have in your salt? Are you salty? Or are you ready to be thrown on the way and trampled over? What kind of lights are you? There's many types of lights. They're floodlights. A floodlight, they do just that. They flood the area in light. So, are we floodlights? Or maybe, are you a light with a short circuit? Sometimes you burn, sometimes you don't. Or are you Christmas lights? You bring out your light once a year for Jesus. Just what kind of lights are we? Because these are important questions. How are we in the service of God? Or are we burned out? I don't know if it's good or not. It doesn't rattle. It must still be good. But are we useful light? Or are we useful as salt? That is the question. God wants us to be light. He wants us to be so pure as salt as possible, to preserve and light up this world for Jesus. And the best way to do that is with love and peace. Because this is how we show the sincerity of God. And that's the only way these types of young people, as I look around, look at all the young people know acting. And they know what's real. What kind of salt are we, Christians? And so God is calling everybody. He's calling the young people and people who don't know Jesus, who have not washed away their sins. He's calling you today to come and be salt and light for Him, that others can find their way. And He's calling those of us who have have been salt and light for a long time but have been getting dimmer or have been getting more impurity. He's calling us back to purity. And he's doing that today because it's important that we seek and save God. So he's calling, if we come and we sing our invitation songs.